As some of you know, I, along with a few of you, went through a rite of passage this week that is very significant. That is, my daughter went off to college. Exactly. And that makes me what is called an empty nester. Although I think it's not a good term. Because when I went back to the nest, I was still there. And so it's not entirely empty. And it's not like kids live in a different nest. Although in their rooms they nest more than we do. And so I would say that I'm a probably slightly quieter, cleaner nester than I was a few weeks ago. But also, I had a certain advantage over some of you who sent your child off to college, which is that my child was able to comfort me in a way that I suspect very few, if any of you, were able to be comforted. Because she said to me, "Look, at least you'll get a sermon out of this." It's scary when your kids know you that well. But actually, the one inaccuracy in that statement is I intend to get two sermons out of this. And those of you who are here on Yom Kippur will hear a little bit different take on it. But what I want to say this morning about this is what it means in the life of a child that parallels so much in our own lives. When you think that your life is about working towards a certain goal. Because I know for kids in 11th and 12th grade, the world is almost entirely about getting into college. And before that, it was about getting into high school. And after that, it's going to be about getting a job or moving back to the nest. But this sense of goal orientation, that life is really about what is to come, is something that we reinforce again and again and again. This morning, in the Parsha, we learn anew the pain of Moses that he doesn't get to go into the land. He has to turn leadership over to Joshua. And there are endless discussions in Jewish tradition about why it is that Moses doesn't get to go into the land of Israel. So for the very first time this morning as I was sitting there, I looked back to what God first said to Moses about his mission. And guess what? God never says to Moses, at least not at the beginning, you are going to take this people out of Egypt and bring them into Israel. God says, I'm going to liberate the people and bring them into Israel, and I need you to go to Pharaoh to release them from bondage. But he doesn't say so that you can bring them somewhere else. And so maybe the reason that Moses doesn't get to go into the land of Israel is because even though we assume that Moses' life was about getting to a certain place, that's not what Moses' life was about. I can't tell you how often I have heard people say to college students that college is not the real world, as though some parts of the world are more real than other parts. As though every day of your life is not equally real, and this day is only your living in suspended animation until you achieve that. Until you get married. Or if you're married, until you have a kid. Or if you have a kid, until you're an empty nester. See? Enjoy it. One day. One day. And this sense of always looking to the next step is a dangerous way to live. And I say this because I think that we implant it in our children in ways that are both unnecessary and unhealthy. Think about it this way. We are now very directed towards Yom Kippur. But everybody knows that Yom Kippur is going to come next year, and the year after, and the year after that. In other words, Yom Kippur is a mark on the journey. It's not an ultimate goal. It's not that everything is about one day, because there's going to be a day after Yom Kippur. When you're going to come to the synagogue, by the way, to hear a dialogue with the former Prime Minister Tony Blair. Don't forget, that's the day after Yom Kippur. Which means life goes on. I remember when I was a kid, you know how they say every kid has an inner artist? Well, I didn't. I was so bad at art. I'm saying that like now I'm great. I am so terrible. I drew bad stick figures. I was horrendously awful at art. And that's why I loved those things, I'm sure they still have them for kids, where you have like 20 different dots or 40 different dots on the page and they're numbered, and all you have to do is follow the numbers from one to the other, and then in the end, all of a sudden, a horse appears. Right? Still, my horses weren't as good as the kids that were good at art, but nonetheless. But I sort of think of this syndrome like that, which is, we assume it's all about getting to number two, but if you look at the drawing, what makes the drawing is the line, not the dot. It's the getting to there, not the being there. And in the end, the picture is composed of all the lines you've drawn. Not all the dots. When you look at just the dots, you have nothing. You can't tell what it's supposed to be. And that's true of life as well. Your life is composed of moments, not of goals. It's composed of all the things you do every day of your life. To say that Moses failed because he didn't get into the land of Israel is to completely misunderstand what it means to live. Here's Moses, who saw God panim el panim, face to face. If that isn't the definition of a successful life, to live every single day in God's presence, then the Jewish tradition means nothing. You remember the story I've told before about the Chafetz Chaim? It summarizes this so beautifully. The Chafetz Chaim was probably the best known rabbi of the late 19th century. And he lived in Radom, Poland, which was a little backwater, was not a big place, not a known place. It was only known because the Chafetz Chaim lived there. And once a group of American tourists who were traveling in Poland went to see the great rabbi, and they found him in his study with a few books and some rickety furniture. And one of them said, "I don't understand, Rabbi, where's all your stuff?" And he said, "Where's all yours?" And they said, "Well, we're just passing through." And he said, "Me too." I thought of this because it's true that there are moments in life that are significant and are beautiful. But if you think of them as what life is about, then the day after, you have nothing left. When we say, as we always do in the rabbi biz, that a bar and bat mitzvah is not an end, but it's a beginning. That's part of what we mean. Which is that this is a journey, not a destination. And that if anyone's life proved that, it's Moses, who never made it to the destination. But it doesn't matter because nobody had as important a journey. And at this time of year, when you look back over your life in the past year, we don't evaluate how we have behaved by whether we achieved the goal. Teshuvah is about how you behaved on the journey. It's about what you did every single day. So that's what we learn. Maybe Moses didn't make it to the land because there wasn't any reason for Moses to make it to the land. That wasn't what his life was about. His life was intended to teach us that that's what life is. Remember, at the end of the Torah, we're still not in the land. And yet, we read the Torah over and over and over and over again, as if the tradition is shouting to us, please understand, your life is about the journey. But it's a beautiful example. How often have people said, I missed that stage of life because I was looking ahead. You have a baby, can't wait to see what it's like as a toddler. I remember thinking, boy, I can't wait till she talks. Now, she talks. And how foolish it is to miss what is in anticipation of what's going to be. If you sit in synagogue and you can only think about lunch, if you are in high school and you can only think about college, if you are at work and you can only think about going home, then you miss your life. At this time of year, what we're supposed to recognize is that God's greatest gift to us is whatever time we have. And the only time we know we have is the time that we are alive now. So each moment, each day is precious. None is more real than any other. Yes, there will be times when we will be more excited, and there will be times when we will be upset, even devastated. There'll be times when we rejoice with others and times when we feel alone. There'll be times when we're in pain and at times when we're in bliss. But it's all life and it's all blessing. And we have it now. So on this Shabbat Shuvah, on this day that means both repentance and return, understand that buried in the word is journey. A return is also a journey. And day after day, year after year, we're supposed to prove to God that we are worthy of the souls we're given because we cherish them all the time, not only in special moments, but each and every day. So when we say Shana Tova, have a good year, what we mean is all year,
with everything that is involved, the good, the bad, the togetherness, the aloneness, the sour, the sweet. All of it, as long as we're alive, is blessed. So this year, don't miss it. Shabbat Shalom.